Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now!
Today is Imani, which means faith. You know, I was just thinking about Kwanzaa today, the last couple of days. A lot of things had changed. No, this show is not about Kwanzaa, but I just want to interject this point. Around this time of year, used to be a lot of Kwanzaa celebrations at community centers, churches, and what have you. And that's just one cultural aspect that we had for ourselves. And then I don't hear not too much about Kwanzaa celebrations anymore in the last 5 to 10 years. And those are one of the things we should return to, because it brought community folks out. We had a celebration. It was our holiday. We respected the ancestors, poor libations, and what have you. But again, that's a subject for another time, what have you. This is We Talk Productions presenting Black Urban America. I'm your host, Kenny Jones. Now, if you have any comments, you could dial 909-265-9215 and press 1 if you have any comments. Again, it's 909-265-9215 and press 1 if you have any comments. We Talk Production is one of the few Black talk radio programs on internet radio that focus on the issues and solutions of Black and Brown people. There's a lot of podcast shows, sports, gardening, economics, political, but there's not too many radio shows that focus on Black and Brown folks in America. But this is one of them, and welcome. We have shows a few nights out the week. Saturday nights from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. We have Provocative Thought with Carl Snead. Of course, we have myself, Tuesday, 8 to 9 p.m., Black Urban America. Now, with Black Urban America, they're different segments. Every Tuesday, we'll have Ann Dillon with her show with Healthy Relationships. Every third Tuesday of the month, we'll have Calm Down, Let's Discuss Racism with T. Nathan Locus Fairley, Melina Medina, and Reginald Virgil. On Wednesdays, we have 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., The Elephant in the Room by Jomarian Harris, a.k.a. Jacques Sue. Tonight, we'll do something a little different. We don't have a guest tonight. It's just me. And some of you will be listening to the show, and some of you will be downloading the show. I will be providing information on economic development in our community. Do we have faith in our own businesses? Speaking in the spirit of Imani. Do we have faith in dealing and interacting with each other economically and financially? Well, before we get into all of that, let's examine the state of African-American economics. In the Intelligencer, written by Eric Lavis, today the wealth has widened between Black and whites. An economics projection by 2052. I may not be around 2052, but it will not get better. Now, that's alarming. That is an alarming state. I know the millennials, they are focusing on entrepreneurship, and hopefully the post-millennials will be focusing on that. We have to really start thinking about developing our own or protecting our own finances. As we get better individually, yes, individually doing well, but as a group, and we talk about in the history of Kwanzaa, the celebrating the Kwanzaa, that and one of the principal Kwanzaa is cooperative economics. In that principle, we're not doing too well. Even with a Black president, the median income for Black families. For Black families were far less than whites. Now, I know during the Obama era, everybody thought that we're going to reach the promised land. You know, racism has died. Injustice for our people will no longer exist. But it looked like things remained the same. Peer that. And I was one of the main ones thought that, hey, things are going to get better now. It really got worse since Bush presidency. There were 24 studies now to show you how working for others is not beneficial to our community. Let me give you a little idea. There was a study conducted for 10 years back in the early 2000s. There were 24 studies together representing 54,000 job applicants for 25,000 jobs. Whites received 30% more, 36% more callback for jobs more than Blacks. Now, Black wealth in America hardly exists. I know we have the LeBron James. I know we have the rappers. I know we have the athletes and the singers and to corporate leaders. Folks, that's not a big representation of our population. You know, today, African Americans own little land, if any at all. And you know, in this country, land always equal power. African Americans today produces little resources. We are led out of all cultures, whites, Indians, Latinos, Middle Easterns, Asians. We are last when it comes to producing resources. And we can cite many reasons why we produce little, not so much resources. We could run a whole gamut, a whole listing, what have you. We all know the problem. That this was astonishing, this last statistic. Less than 40% of African Americans own their own homes. Now, I thought it was more. I really thought it was more. But with the whole issue of gentrification, as you know, gentrification is really pushing out a lot of African American families out of the communities they know. I'm not going to get into the education aspect part about it. I'm not going to get into the political part about it. I'm going to remain a focus on us. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to own land? How are we going to produce resources? How are we going to own our own housing? By economic development, which produces economic freedom. Now, that sounds easy. That sounds very, very easy. But it's not. First of all, we have a whole sociological dynamic that we're dealing with when we talk about Black folks on their own business, Black folks doing business with each other, having pro-Black businesses. It sounds good. It looks good on paper. But really, we have to change the whole way we think. We had to change the whole way we feel about ourselves and how we feel about each other. Let me tell you, there was an experiment by a New York disc jockey by the name of Bob Law. He did this experiment about 25 years ago in the heart of Brooklyn called Red Hook, Red Hook used to be Black and brown, but now it's majority white. He had two stores. One that looked like to be owned by Black folks and another store that looked to be owned by white folks. Now, the white folks' store were dirty, the prices were higher, and the people behind the counter were very, very disrespectful to the patrons in that community. Black store, clean, prices were lower. And the workers was very respectful to the people that patronized that establishment. And don't you know who's getting all the business? Do you know who was getting all the business? That store that looked like to be white owned. Mr. Law, he was standing, it was like snowing that day, and he saw this, elderly, that looked like to be white. And yes, stop and say, but why are you looking for this store? I look like that store is closed. Then she said, hey, I'm not going to do any business with those, the N word, unquote. And she was taken aback how Black folks really don't do business. Don't you know that we could sue $1.3 trillion and less than 1% stay in the community? Look at it. Get our paycheck. We spend gas at the gas station owned by another culture. We go to Walmart. We all know who that owned by. We go to the Clintons, owned by another culture. We'll go to 67 businesses owned by another culture, none by aiding any Black folks. That's how our money leaves the community. Suppose that cleaner's owned by a Black man. Suppose that gas station was owned by a Black man or Black individual. Politically correct. Black individual. You have to necessarily be a man. Or we go to a store, a grocery store, owned by a Black individual. That's how some money stay in the community. Hey, Carlton, how you doing? Good evening.
What's up, Kenny?
Hey, nothing much. Thank you for listening to me on the show. Whoa, two times in one month. Wow. So, how you feel about that, man? How you feel about some of the stats I threw out there about black folks becoming economically free or developing our own economy?
You mean becoming more economically successful? Because you can't be free, you don't pick the money. So you're not going to be free. You're always going to be in the system. So what you're going to do, what we need to do is learn to manipulate the system like those folks did in Tulsa with that Black Wall Street.
But so, that's what I mean. Be more... But first of all, I started out by with cooperative economics. Cooperative economics, pro Black businesses, spend our money with Black businesses, even if we have to search high and low to find Black businesses. Keeping our money, I was just talking about the $1.3 trillion. Keep our money. In the community, if we just kept 40% of the $1.3 trillion, can you imagine how we can develop our community as well as prevent gentrification?
Depends on who you're talking to. I don't know in terms of Black business, but here's one thing about Black businesses: just because you're Black, don't mean you're the best person to buy from. So if you got a business and you want the Black community to support you, then you need to give them a quality, whatever it is you service and whatever it is you sell in the community. So
we
just because you're Black.
You'd be surprised. These Black businesses are very, I don't know about successful, but they are more likely than not, they have a good product. They have a positive product. The issue is get more of us to be consumers of Black businesses so the money can stay in the name. That's my intro song by Public Enemy. So the money can stay in the neighborhood. The money is leave the neighborhood. Or we move into the vice neighborhoods, and we never see that money.
So do you mean Black businesses, or do you mean people who are in business who are Black? Because you got entrepreneurs, guys that got it to
say
work in your house and stuff like that. You mean Black businesses as in an establishment, established business? Or do you mean black people who are in business, because you have entrepreneurs out here that do things also.
I mean both. We need more of us to start businesses and become entrepreneurs.
Right.
Where we have a product, we have a product that we want to sell to our own people, and our own people purchase from us. We do business. We each other. If we want to buy some land, go to a black realtor. We want to buy a house, go to a black real estate person. We want to buy food, find a black grocery. I don't even know how many department stores are owned by black folks. There are, but they're few and far in between. And we don't do the research to find out where these stores are, where these businesses are. And hopefully, that black businesses would do business with another black establishment. And that's how you keep the money in the neighborhood. That's how other cultures do it. That's how other cultures practice cooperative economics.
In the neighborhood, and they helped each other in Black Wall Street. I read about that. They didn't just have stores in the community, they actually were dedicated toward helping people. And you came there, they were going to help you get on your feet. So, I mean, it's in terms of searching out a black business, I don't know if that's a realistic thing to do. But people are going to go to the nearest place that has what they want, you know, in terms of that. So it sounds like to me it's the shortest of black businesses. So maybe it's not even just about shopping at black businesses, it's creating black businesses also. You know what I'm saying? That we need to do that.
Right. And let me tell you something. I'm glad you said that because we all have skills. We all have some kind of skill that we work for somebody else, for them to prosper. How about these individuals take their skills? I mean, not all of us can be business owners and entrepreneurs, you know, especially entrepreneurship, because that's a lot of risk. But the ones that they think about, you know, I sure like to have my own. I say stop talking about it and do it. And another thing that's a challenge, where do we get the capital? Because we spend so much of our resources, but we are creative people. We could come up with a solution for that. All it does is just take that. It takes some time as an investment into yourself. How serious are you in becoming an entrepreneur or creating your own business to provide products for our people? And it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing to do this, you know, to jump out there. But some of us have to do that if we're going to tackle some of these solutions, some of these issues that's going on in our communities.
Well, I think that those only people that started businesses are those that, like you said, know how to do that, right, are capable of maintaining the business, those who want to and are capable, and those who have the currency to support somebody who's capable. So, I mean, like you're talking about this black money that's being spent and collective economics and, you know, and things like that. Well, maybe if we can divert some money to help people build our own industry, which is what we need. You know, we need our own supermarket.
I just want to know from your perspective, why can't we do that? What is it that are preventing us from doing this?
We got the manpower.
We got the brains. Cause we got black folks that are running white folks' corporations. We even have the resources, but we don't. I don't know if we're afraid or we don't trust each other in pulling our resources creating a supermarket. Like, for example, the black farmers, okay, bring their produce to this black supermarket to sell to the black community folks. Get a black trucking company to drive those produce to the black supermarket, to the black-owned supermarket, so they can sell to the black residents in that community.
Sounds good
this
to me.
This can happen anywhere in this country. I mean, you got brothers and sisters that are farmers in Iowa, Wyoming, Nebraska, Mississippi, Alabama. You got black folks all over this country where we could start our own grocery businesses. Just for example, this is a sample, hypothetical. Start our own grocery business. Get black trucking companies. Get black folks that own their own trucks. Get them to bring the products to the store. Boom. That's how the money circulates in the community. And we talk about national, even global.
Right. Right. You know, like you asked your own question about why we don't do it. And it's probably more reasons than that, that for all the, for each individual we have, groups of people that we have that do things, you know, they all have their own reasons, you know, so.
But you know what I think the reason is? You know what I think the reason is? Two things. Two things. Lack of trust in each other and too much talking about it. Lack of trust and too much talking about it. Yeah, we could. Black folks need somebody to say, look, this is how you do it. If we do it, this is the plan. We don't write down our plans. We keep our plans to ourselves. We don't write down our plans. And like, for example, this guy from California, Compton, he owned a couple of mechanic shops. Know how he started out? In his garage. In his garage 10 years ago. Fixing people's cars in the neighborhood. And now he has two shops. Two shops. You know, so that's a good example. Hey, he get tires from a black tire distributor. He get all his parts. He tried to deal with different black institutions. Now, in some areas, we're not in. You know, we're just not there. We're not represented. But you still got to keep your business going. So that's a sense of how you could start and grow and keep the money in the neighborhood. Because that $1.3 trillion, we're not seeing.
Hello?
Yeah, we're just not seeing that $1.3 trillion. You know, so I think that this is something that we have to focus on, and I think this is one of the avenues that we have to go down seriously, because it could be done. But let me ask you something, Carl. Do you think black businesses should do business with each other, or but with everyone?
Well, I think I should do business with anybody, you know, in terms of if I'm selling a loaf of bread, I'm going to say, oh, you white, you can't buy no bread out of my store.
No, I'm not talking about that way. And, you know, the deal, distribution, buying your products from other places or getting your loan or getting a resource, you know, maybe you got to go somewhere to get your resources, start your business, but the person that's providing the resource is not the same color as you.
Well, you know, I think, like you said, if you're trying to do, like Tulsa was forced to work together because nobody wasn't going to work with them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they were forced to work together. So they wasn't able to assimilate like we can melt into people's businesses now. Like you said, they got black people running people's corporations now, stuff like that. Well, you know, but when you forced to work together like they were in Tulsa, then, you know, that's like, you help me, you do this, you know, everybody knew they had to depend on each other. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with depending on each other. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And, you know, if I need a distributor, if I can't get a black distributor, I'm going to have to use a distributor. That doesn't mean I still can't serve my community. I just have to use these guys over here, find nobody to do that. But I still have to make my services available to my community. You got to do whatever you're able to do. You can't just say, okay, this is the way. You can have a blueprint for how you want to do it, but if you can't do it exactly what you want to do it, you got to do what you can do any way you can do it, you know. Because, I mean, either way you put it, you're still perpetuating the thing, which you don't make the money. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
so you don't look at it. It's a big picture. You're still perpetuating the banker. So what we need to do is...
Look at us. If Blog Talk is white owned, but we're using that service to get the information to our people.
Right.
And
that's right.
We're trying to practice what we preach, you know, becoming
right.
self-sufficient, you know.
More self-sufficient, that's right.
Like you said, you know, we have to do what we have to do, you know. And that is leading to economic freedom.
Right.
You know what, brother?
More power.
I appreciate you.
More economic power. Right.
That's right. And, you know, that's what Stokely Carmichael meant with black power. He doesn't talk about physical power. He can talk about black economic power. You know, drop the economic, just say black power and whatnot. You know, but you know what? Dude, I'll go get the audience a break today. I'm not going to go for an hour. I'll give them an abbreviated show. You know, I just want to get that little insert there to the folks and whatnot about if they're thinking about starting their own business and becoming an entrepreneur. You know how these New Year's... Oh, speaking of New Year, did you go to a Kwanzaa celebration this week? Are there any left?
Oh, I don't know.
I remember it was like every church and every community center back in the day had a Kwanzaa celebration.
Yeah, when it was hot, I mean, it was new and it faded, you know.
Yeah, it faded. It faded big time. Yeah. Hey, man. Yo, I'm going to be speaking to you later on in the week, but I thank you for giving me some help tonight.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm about to get off the air. And I want to wish everybody a Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa, and good luck in the year 2019. Like as always, I am because we are because I am. See you.
Hold it now!